Hard to know where to begin even to imagine that temple, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, a huge structure that would make the people of Jerusalem, and I am sure more so the people coming to the city from the places around it, drop their jaws in amazement. 46 years and counting to build it, the center of their religious life. Whatever the festival, people were to come and make their offering, sort of like today, I guess, except we don't bring goats or sheep. In those days, goats and sheep it was, unless you were too poor, and then it was doves. You would come at festivals, at Passover and Pentecost and Sukkot, like our Easter and Thanksgiving, you would come with the birth of a child. You came at those times of change in your life, when it was so important to remember God, to whom you and your people had always belonged. You came when you needed to be reminded of who you were. You came because the temple was the meeting place between the God of Israel and God's people. It's not quite the way we do it now, but it is a faithful system laid out in the early writings of the Hebrew Scriptures. It was a holy place where human life and divine blessing meet. And we need those places. Places where we and God meet, where we're reminded of the holiness of God, but also where we are reminded that not just buildings, but that we are sacred and treasured. Where we are reminded that our neighbors are sacred and treasured and valued by God. Because somehow I think when we honor God, we are also reminded that God honors us. And a holy place is a place where human life and God's blessing meet. It's good for us to remember because every once in a while, holy places, like I think other places, become places where we are sure, rather, that we are right, that it is us. And then it's difficult for the meeting of human life and God to happen. Difficult for the meeting of our lives and God's grace to happen. Sometimes I think in our places, in holy places even, it seems like we have it all sewn up. The system is straightforward. The rules are clear. But it can almost be like there isn't room for our neighbor, maybe. Sometimes not for us. Sometimes not for God, even. Religion can be like that. Even our own Christian faith somehow can sometimes take that shape. It is sometimes as if the rules are all that matters. But if that is the case, then God's blessing isn't a blessing. It's like it's a payment. It's like it's part of a system. God's grace isn't grace, a gift. It is something different. But the gospel for today, Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. It happens in the Gospel of John between the wedding at Cana, where Jesus makes wine when it has run out, 180 gallons of the best wine to celebrate. It happens between that and the story of Nicodemus, where Jesus tells a faithful man, a ruler of the temple, concerned about the system, that God's Spirit blows where it does. You don't know where it begins and where it will end. And in the middle of that celebration and of God's Spirit blowing, Jesus turns over the tables. It is a new day. It's interesting today that today is the day we hear about the commandments. And of course, there is a place for those commandments. They guide us. We know that. Absolutely, there is a place for temples, for holy places. They inspire us and remind us of God's presence and our need to turn our lives towards God. But commandments on one hand and structures on the other, rules for faithfulness, they are not all there are. They don't encompass our lives as God's people. Just like the kids said that God lived everywhere, not just here, those things don't encompass our lives. They don't define us. They can be turned So then it started to make more sense as I thought about Jesus' anger, as Jesus turned over those tables so close to the beginning of his ministry. He showed that the temple was not God's only place. He was also God's temple, he said. And God's holy presence wasn't only with the religious elite, the scribes or the elders or the wardens for that matter. Just saying. Not for those who are in charge. Not the high priest or the lowly rector. None of those. None of those who you might think, who some people might think, but God. God is the one who is in charge of where God's presence is made known. God who blows God's spirit through chaos and creates beauty. God who breathes creation and it becomes something we understand to be very good. God who guides us by the commandments to know that we will know God and God's own living and changing ways in our world. That's important because somehow it seems that whether we live in 2018 or the year 30, like Jesus, there are always parts of our world and even parts of ourselves that want to make God smaller. There are always parts of our world and parts of ourselves that somehow seek to make humans worth less. We squish each other down or ourselves down. There are parts of our world and ourselves that somehow don't think of our own physical selves as a fit place for God's blessing and human lives to meet. A temple. But Jesus' body was a temple, and ours are too, places where God's blessing and our human lives meet. Jesus speaks of the temple which is his body, and all of a sudden we learn that Jesus' human self is also the holy place of God. And also our own physical selves that walk or run or eat or drink or love friends or give birth or throw our backs out doing something crazy, and at some point give our life back to God in death. All of our humanness, all of that, us, our physical selves, these things too are temples. This Lent we follow Jesus in his own physical self. As he wandered in the wilderness, lost, as he turned over the tables in anger, as he kneeled at the feet of his friends and despite their protests served them, we watch him eat and drink with his friends at the Passover, their religious feast, a celebration, and we follow him to a garden for an agonized and fearful and sleepless night. All these experiences, they're holy, and in some way they are so familiar to us. The lostness of wilderness, wondering where we are, where we go, the anger, the service of friends, and also those protests that we know, no, after you, no, really, I'll get it, don't worry about it. Feasting with friends, sleepless nights, they're all familiar to us. And we too learn that these actions, lived in our own human bodies, can become the holy place of God, a place where human life and divine blessing meet. This day, then, and these last weeks of Lent, pause and remember that you and all those you meet are somehow God's own children and are willed by God to know God's own blessing in their lives and in their physical selves. Our lives, our bodies at their best and at their worst, are places where God meets us, making sacred every part of our life. Life can do so much to convince us that it is not so. But today, Jesus himself speaks and turns and convinces us that it is.